This is Mark Gleason of ECC, and today we're interviewing as part of the Oral History Project of St. John's Lutheran Church for the 150th anniversary, Dwayne and Marie Benson, longtime members of St. John's. Welcome, Dwayne and Marie. First of all, can you tell me something about your families and how you came to Northfield and children, etc.?
Well, I grew up on a farm in North Dakota, and I ended up at NDSU in agricultural engineering. Took me about 2 months to figure out I didn't like that. I took what was called an aptitude test. One of the things in the aptitude test was mortician, funeral director. And I thought, what weird thing did I put down on that test to have that come up? Anyway, 2 or 3 days later, I was looking for a part-time job, and an ad in the Fargo Forum was there for a part-time attendant at a funeral home. And I answered that ad, and that's where my career started some 50-some years ago. And I just have to believe that God led me there. Mm-hmm. We have 2 children, Mark and Sarah. Mark lives here in Northfield, married, 2 children. Sarah lives in North Carolina, married, and 2 children, one of which is at St. Olaf.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
We moved here 1966, November 1st. Joined St. John's in December, probably December of 66. Been here ever since, enjoyed the whole 50 some years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We met our backdoor neighbors right away when we moved to Northfield, who were Jewel and Arthur Peterson. Art introduced us to the neighborhood with coffee. Art and Jewel did, with coffee in the evening. And then invited us to come to St. John's for services, which we did. But we also visited all 3 Lutheran churches in Northfield at that time, Bethel and St. Peter's. And in the end, we decided, no, we really liked St. John's. And so we joined the church. One of the couples that we met, in addition to knowing the Petersons, were Gert and Will Bros, Sam and Kay Haugen, Les Gustafson and his wife, I can't remember her name right now, and Jane and Bob Gelly, and it was just a really great experience for us. I'm from St. Paul originally. I'm a nurse. I went to school at Fairview. And my father was a pastor. My older brother is a pastor. And so I've grown up in the Lutheran church, as well as Dwayne did. And we were looking for a good, strong congregation, and good preaching and excellent music. And St. John's has certainly delivered that over the years.
Tell me about some of the roles that each of you has had at St. John's.
Okay, I'm going to give this.
Well, I've been an usher for 50-some years. I was head usher for a period of time, and I gave that up. Doug Childs, head crew member now. And years back, I served on the stewardship board for a number of years and taught Sunday school for 2 or 3 years. But in recent years, I've kind of backed off. I'm leaving it to the younger people.
Tell me some of your experience as an usher and why you selected that and stayed in that role for so long.
Well, it gave me a chance to meet and greet people. Initially, I think that was one of the reasons. But I've enjoyed it, and it almost goes hand in hand with funeral service. We're involved with organizing and seating people in that role, so it carries over to Sunday morning worship. And I've enjoyed it a lot.
The things that I've done are varied. When I was young and didn't have children, I joined a circle right away. And some of my circle members still belong to St. John's, and I am still in that circle. However, I did move around in circles to meet other women, which was a wonderful blessing for me. And I learned a lot about the Bible from some of those women. The things that I've done over the years are mostly being involved in the women's organization. Years ago, before the last merger of the church, it was called ALCW, American Lutheran Church Women. And some of the women that I was involved with were Jewel Peterson in a hospitality role, Carrie Harmon, who was a great organizer and person to lead people in the quilting project, Judy Smith, who is currently still a member, who has been very involved. You can say Judy is the yes lady of St. John's. She hardly ever turns something down when asked. My friend Gert Brose was a great leader in the ALCW and WELCA after the merger. Marie Malmeen Meyer, I brought to mind yesterday when we were talking about today's interview, because she belonged to a circle that I joined at one point, and she was very well versed in the Bible and a great teacher and just a wonderful Christian lady. Jane Gelly has done so much with funeral hospitality and was a big mentor for me when I took over as a team leader and coordinator for the funeral hospitality. And Kathy Vang, currently, who is the head quilt lady at St. John's. My service also at St. John's has been on the fellowship board. At one point years ago, I was chair of the fellowship board. For many years, I was, early on, I was treasurer of WELCA, then vice president and president of our women's organization. And then after a year or two of a little vacation from that, I was asked to be the conference vice president for the Cannon River Conference, and then became president of that for 2 years also, which was a great experience, leading women in our conference with WELCA stuff. During 1975 or six, we published a cookbook at St. John's, and I happened to be president that year, and that was really a fun time to be involved with all the women. I attended conventions, of course, for that organization, and later I was registrar for two district conference conventions at St. Olaf College, and worked with Marlene Engstrom, who I met then many years ago. So that was really fun.
And those were for WELCA?
For WELCA, yeah, right. And then I also became a Stephen minister, and I did that for 22 years, I think. And that was a wonderful experience, working with women from the age of 19 to 93. And sometimes meeting them at the young years of their life and helping them through a crisis or troubling time in their life and helping them with their faith, or with the older ladies, helping them come to terms with their aging and their impending death. And that was a real blessing too for me. So as Duane mentioned, our children are Sarah and Mark. Sarah is now belongs to an Episcopalian church,
Presbyterian
Presbyterian church. in her town and is not nearly as involved as her mother was in the church. She has a full-time job and I didn't. So, and Mark and his wife and family belong to our church also. So,
Dwayne, have there been men in the congregation as you joined and later who had particular influences on you or that were models that you looked towards?
Well, I think some of them, I would have to include Sam and Kay Haugen, both. Art Peterson, as Ray mentioned earlier, Les Gustafson, Les Svensson, our former pastor, the Gellies, Bob more so for me than Jane, but they've both been wonderful members here. And I guess Wilbrose in some respects because, well, it was at the bank and I met him there and I met him here, but Will held the purse strings when I wanted to go into business and I needed some money. So he's been a big help. Those are the main people, I think.
For worship at St. John's, what are the features that you have found particularly important?
Well, certainly I think the music and some of the hymns that come to mind for both of us are Beautiful Savior, Silent Night, sung on Christmas Eve when the lights go off and the candles are lit, is especially moving and wonderful time. Singing on Eagle's Wings, and here we sang it today. That was great. And also singing Amazing Grace, which is a favorite hymn of both of ours. Some things that are really important to me is worship and having that time of worship together, whether we're singing the liturgy or we're listening to a good sermon like we did today with Pastor Anthony, or Pastor Pam or John, of course, doesn't matter. Listening to the scripture being read is really important and comforting sometimes encouraging, sometimes challenging to make us think about our own personal situation. And also, having the welcoming comment made by the pastor at the beginning of the communion, after the Lord's call to worship, to communion, to say everyone is welcome, I think is really wonderful and important for the whole congregation to hear. And for all of us who come often, it's important to hear it every time we're here, to know that we're all welcome to the Lord's table.
Marie and I talked about this at length yesterday, and my feelings are pretty much covered by what Marie just said.
Mm-hmm. One service that came to my mind when we were talking about services that were especially memorable to us is one Sunday many years ago when David Thompson was our associate pastor. He and Jeannie Narum, who was our choral director at that time, had helped plan a service up at St. Olaf, and it was on Pentecost Sunday, and we were sitting on bleachers. I don't remember which building it was in. And they turned out the lights when they read the gospel about the flames coming down, you know. And it was just so dramatic to me. And I remember my kids were probably middle school or so, and the kids' eyes were, they were just bug-eyed. It was really neat. Dwayne was ushering for it, so he wasn't sitting with us. And there was just something about the aura of the event, the words that were spoken, the hymns that we sang. It was really meaningful to me especially. And then I think for our whole family, the Christmas Eve service is especially touching. And for also early morning Easter service, where we hear the Christ's resurrection story.
Well, we do have the question about high points in your experience, and it sounds like those are some of them.
Yes, 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 very much so. That's right. One other thing that I know you had mentioned in your list of things that we possibly could tell you is, I think that having women of the congregation has becoming so involved as officers and presidents is so important. We girls really liked that when that started, because we do have some wonderful leaders in this congregation who are women as well as the men.
And that is part of a change that you've seen over several decades.
Oh, yes.
And if you could talk about some of those changes that you've seen, that would be interesting to hear.
Dwayne?
Well, one thing I talked about was watching the facility grow over the years. I remember years ago there was not a handicap entrance, and we had to go up and down the steps, particularly in the front. The back, it wasn't quite as bad. But so we watched what is now the library being built since we've been members. We've watched St. John's Hall and all of that being built. We've watched the expansion of the parking lots, and so the building has really changed since we became members.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those are important things to keep up with the times and hopefully attract new members.
Yeah, watching our friends who are disabled come in a wheelchair or with walkers and not have to, you know, deal with steps, and just to wheel their chair or their walker in is really good. And
I remember the day as ushers, we did not have a wheelchair at St. John's. Now we've got maybe half a dozen of them, which is, people are living longer, of course, and they're getting out. But I look forward to getting some new younger members that are a long ways away from wheelchairs.
So it's always good to see the kids in church.
Yeah.
And the young couples. Yeah. And we try to, you know, meet and greet people. And in fact, one Sunday we were at a local restaurant, and it was on a Sunday when we didn't have church at 8:30, and this family was sitting close to us, and we discovered that they belonged to St. John's, and they recognized us.
No, they didn't belong. They didn't belong yet.
Oh, they don't.
They were prospective new members,
mm-hmm.
but they hadn't gotten the email that there was no first service because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked Marie and I if we knew.
Oh, yes.
If there was going to be a second service, we got a text, I guess, at the restaurant, saying that the first service had been canceled, but the second service was on. So we met them, not here in church, but at the restaurant, and we've seen them coming to church ever since. So we're looking forward to having them as new members.
And watching their kids grow up.
Yeah.
That's what's fun, too.
Marie, you mentioned the changing roles of women in the church and how important that is. Can you comment more on that and what the future of women in the church might be?
Well, it's wonderful to see that women originally were, it was voted and decided and voted in the affirmative that women could become pastors in our synod. I was a big proponent of that. And now to have women, it's not a stigma anymore. It's just this person or this person. The gender of who they are is not emphasized so much like I think it probably was at first when we started having more women leaders in the church, whether they were the president or not. There were more women on the church council, more women visible in lots of leadership roles. And I think that's been really wonderful to see that happen. And it proves that it doesn't matter who the person is, gender-wise. If they can do a good job, they do a good job, and they're good leaders. And encouraging of others to take part as well. That's what I think is really important. The other thing is men and women look at things differently, and it's wonderful to see that the men are respectful of the ladies' opinions, where I know of stories from many, many years ago where the men poo-pooed what the women said, and the women had their place, and, you know, that was difficult.
You mentioned circles, involvement of women in circles, and the difficulty your daughter has with full-time work, etc. Mm-hmm. Are there changes in that kind of church culture, for example, the circles, that are going to present either challenges or new directions for the church?
Well, one thing that's happened at St. John's is very gradually there are two groups of younger women, some who are working outside the home and some who I know aren't, who have made themselves available to, or have been invited and have joined, I should say, a circle. But those circles either meet on Saturday morning or in the evening. Our circles historically have met in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening, and you could join whichever group you wanted. You aren't necessarily invited, but if you know someone who's in a group and they invite you, that's just great. So there are probably, I don't know, 25 or 30 women who are on the list for both of those groups now. Which I think is really good. But it is difficult because my own daughter-in-law does not belong to a circle. She has a very demanding full-time job and two kids who are in high school now, and it's just not a priority time commitment for her.
Duane, do you see challenges for men in being full members of the congregation and finding ways to join and grow in the church?
No, I don't at this point in time. I think there's room for everyone to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Seems the ushers have a very unified kind of experience, and they cooperate very closely together.
Well, as they should, and I think, you know, we call them ushers, but sometimes I think we could and should be called greeters.
Yep.
I mean, we have greeters at the doors, but the ushers can play a very important part in that, mm-hmm. making people feel welcome.
That is certainly true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of course, because we've belonged here so many years now, we know almost all the ushers, especially the first service mm-hmm. ushers.
Yep.
And so, you know, we are greeted by them very often, or we greet them. And And that's another wonderful part about being part of a congregation, is that you get to know a very large group of people, whether it's casually just on Sunday morning by greeting an usher, or it's being involved in a group, the choir, Sunday school teaching, WELCA, whatever it is, on a board. And that's why I think belonging to a church is one of the big reasons too, besides all the opportunities you have to continue to strengthen and learn the faith of Jesus Christ.
Well, I'll ask a final question that wasn't on the list, but it is similar to them. What is your hope for the future of the church?
My biggest hope, I think, is that we can grow in membership. I'd like to see more young people. And it's difficult because I remember when we used to have three services at St. John's. Mm-hmm. And now we're down to two. In fact, last summer we were down to one. And I don't like the feel of that. Mm-hmm. I feel we need to grow. We have a huge facility here. We have a huge job to do in the community for our people. And we need to grow to be successful. I'm not sure how to do that in today's climate. It's a tough deal. But that's my hope, is that we can grow.
I'm encouraged to see that we've opened up an invitation to the community to come on Wednesday for Wednesday meals. And I try to make an effort to greet somebody new or get to know somebody at one of those meals, either by sitting by them or visiting with them. And in fact, there's one couple that we got to know because they live in the neighborhood and they would come for the meal. And then they started coming for worship occasionally. And then eventually they did join the church. And I'm really pleased to see that a number of people really reached out to this couple and kept inviting them and welcoming them and welcoming them and talking to them and getting to know them as people. And then they decided to join the church. So, yeah, good for us. Yeah.
Duane and Marie Benson, thank you very much for participating in this oral history. And we'll be seeing you in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.